Good morning. I'm Meg Mardium with the Programming Department for Comic-Con International, and I'm pleased to be here with all of you to celebrate the career of our special guest, Larry Stroman. With a body of work that spans several big publications, such as Marvel, DC, Image, and Dark Horse, Larry's had a chance to illustrate several well-known characters, as well as his own creator-owned series. His recent contributions to comics can be found in Lion Forge's comics, Incidentals, and Marvel's Cloak and Dagger, Lost and Found. On behalf of Comic-Con International and its board of directors, it's my honor to present our Inkpot Award for Achievement in Comic Arts to Larry Stroman for this and his future contributions.
Thank you very much. I'm not used to doing this kind of thing. I'm used to just kind of sitting home on the drafting board and with a little computer next to me and kind of running my whole world that way. But first of all, I would like to thank everybody who decided to take their time out of their day with all the great stuff that's going on at this convention to come and be here to listen to what I have to say. Anyway, I go back as far as when I was like 3 years old. My brother Cisco, he collected comics. He didn't really care about comics, he just liked reading comics. So what he'd do is he'd read the comics and he'd either toss them in the garbage or he'd pass them on to me. And I suffer from dyslexia, so it took a while for me to learn how to read, but how I learned how to read is basically being inspired by pictures that I was looking at. And you couldn't get any better than the pictures that were in comic books, especially at that time. And so around the time when I was like 7, 8 years old, I began to slowly learn how to read, but I still never developed an interest in just reading stuff that had pictures. I mean, that didn't have pictures. And to this day, I'm exactly the same way. I probably read 10 novels my whole life. Pretty much everything else is either in some magazine form or whatever, or a comic book. My interest in wanting to do comics came out of my same brother. He used to have these posters that he had on his wall in his room. And at that time, it was like really cool in the early 70s to have this, the black light. You had these posters that would glow, green, yellow, orange, whatever. And one poster was a Jack Kirby picture of the Silver Surfer holding a surfboard. The other one was a Thor picture. And then I think there was like a Captain America picture. And I remember looking at that as a little kid, and I go back to my room and I'm constantly drawing on these pieces of paper. My mother worked in the same grade school that I went to. So what she would do is all the scrap paper that they throw away at the end of the day, she'd bring this stuff to the house. Well, most of that scrap paper was like a process of copying at the time, but it was like this thing that had this drum, and you just use this three-part thing that had like carbon paper, whatever. It had this real funny smell to it. I remember getting dizzy a few times because that smell almost never went away from the paper. But I would use that as my way of drawing, and I would use whatever pencil was around the house, ink pen, whatever. But I think it was when I hit about age 12 or 13, Marvel had put out these set of, at the time, they weren't called graphic novels, they're called graphic novels now. One was called the Secret Origins of Marvel Comics, the other one was called Bring on the Bad Guys, and there was a third one of women, I forgot what that one was called, The Women of Marvel Comics or whatever. And I remember that day when I saw those, when I bought those three books, I think it was only like $4 or $5 a piece. And I remember saying to myself, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. So there was a store that I used to go to when I was heading to the museum. I used to like hanging out at the museum and sketching and studying stuff, going to the library, whatever. It was called Store 24. Store 24 was today's equivalent of 7-Eleven. And I was standing in line, and there was a rack and had these comic books on it. I had never bought a comic to that point. I read a lot of comics, but I never actually bought them. And at that time, comics were like 25 cents a piece. So the very first book I ever bought, I think it was number 81 reprint of Fantastic Four. And I used to love the Fantastic Four cartoon. And then I bought that book, and I remember flipping through that book and looking at the pages and how dynamic everything was. And I was like, man, this is, whatever I have to do to be able to do this, this is what I want to do for like forever. So fast forward to that, I'm about 21, and I finally made the decision to quit the job that I had. I was working in this architectural firm, and I hated the job. I mean, I'm just drawing these straight lines like this, like moving poles and stuff, and I couldn't take it anymore. So one day I just told my girlfriend at the time, I said, I'm going to New York. And she said, you're doing what? I said, I quit my job today, I'm going to New York. Man, she threw a fit. But I had to do it. I just had to do it. So what I did was I packed up all my stuff, went to New York, got myself into a rooming house, and I thought I was going to start off my comic career right then, but I realized I had no idea what I was doing. So I had to make a living because I was collecting unemployment from the other job, and I ended up with my very last unemployment check. So I said, what am I going to do? So I'd seen different guys around in the city, you know, selling stuff on the street or whatever. So what I did was, I went and got myself this big cardboard. At the time, for some reason, this cardboard was always everywhere. Because, you know, breakdancing, spinning around the cardboard. So this stuff is all over the place. I took these big pieces of cardboard, and I drew these little drawings on, like, some bristleboard paper. And I cut these things out. It was a smart man. Pasted them on with like Scotch tape, and then I set up at the end of Central Park. And I remember the very first guy that walked up to me, and he says, are you selling these? And I said, yeah. He says, let me get two of them. That was $2. And that was one of the greatest days of my entire life. I said, I came to New York, and I'm now making a living as an artist. And I got $2. So I began to kind of expand more. I would make a bigger picture, better quality pictures. And this kind of went on for a couple of years. So there was a convention in town, and I had decided I wanted to go to that convention. And I didn't know what I wanted to bring with me. I didn't know whether I was going to buy any comics or anything like that. So I said, okay, well, I'll take my portfolio case with me. Then I said, I'm not going to take it. Yeah, I'm going to take it. No, I'm not going to take it. Finally, I decided I'm going to take this thing. And I just threw some stuff in there. None of it was comic-related stuff. It was just the art that I was selling on the street. So I get to this convention. I go around a number of different editors. All these guys are rejecting my stuff. Not interested. You know, it wasn't comic-related or whatever. So there was this panel. And on the panel was Walt Simonson and Howard Chaykin. Howard Chaykin and Walt Simonson at the time were doing two of the most popular books in comics, which was American Flag and Thor. So they do their thing, they're over. It's a long line of people standing there to sign books. So I go to the end of this line, I'm standing on this side. I don't feel like standing in this line. So I walk right up to the front of the line. And I walk up to Howard Chaykin, he's standing beside the book. I say, hey, Howard. And he looks up. I slam my portfolio case right on top of the table. And I said, take a look at my stuff. And he says, don't you see these people standing in this line? I said, man, I don't care about these people. I just want to look at my stuff. So he started laughing. He just thought it was like the funniest thing ever seen. So he opens it up and he starts flipping through. And he says, and you're not getting any work? I said, I haven't really tried to get any work. It never even occurred to me to come here to get any work. So he says, writes on his number, he says, call me about a week, I'll get you some work. So I go to the studio a week later, and I end up doing these, what are called dossiers, which was in the back of comic books, you have like these single pictures of whoever the characters are in that book, and then there's like a description of who they are. So I did a bunch of those for him. And then after that, he called up DC, Marvel, and I think First Comics at the time. And he says, hey, you got to take a look at this guy's stuff. He says, I think he can do some good work for the company. So I ended up getting work. In a period of 2 days, I got work from 3 different companies. So I went from doing nothing to now having so much work, I just had no clue what to do. Well, I lost almost all those jobs because I didn't know what I was doing. And I was doing this terrible drawings, all this kind of stuff. So I had to say, you know, I want to do this. I gotta start this all over again. So I kind of drew back, got rid of most of that stuff, and I focused on one person. And it was a guy named Carl Parks, who at the time was running Epic, which was part of Marvel Comics at the time. So Carl gave me my first work to be published, which was there was a book that came out of Marvel called Amazing High Adventures, and I did some Nazi story or something in there. And then from that, he asked me, would I be interested in doing a backup for a book called Alien Legion, which is this. And I said, sure. So I did that one backup. Then I did a second backup. And then it turns out that the artist, who was a regular artist on the book, was leaving. So he asked me if I'd be interested in taking over the book. And I'm usually pretty calm and cool when I get good information about something. So my head's like, whoa. And I'm like, should I take over the book? So that became my first book. Well, the advantage that I had of doing this book over most people that come into the industry is that it wasn't a big seller book, but it was a steady selling book. It had like a hardcore group of fans that to this day, they're still following me through the comic industry. And being able to come into the business like that, I was able to grow as an artist. And I made a lot of mistakes, and I was able to fix up those mistakes as I went along. And so I hadn't done any mainstream Marvel stuff. So every once in a while, there would be an editor who would say, hey, would you like to do an issue of this, an issue of that? You know, I would do an issue of Cloak and Dagger, I did an issue of Wolverine, I did an issue of whatever. So then the guy who was running the X-Men stuff at the time, he says, hey, Larry, would you be interested in doing a couple of issues of X-Men or X-Factor or something like that? I was like, oh, man, this would be a really great opportunity. I said, sure. But he never got back to me. So I was kind of upset about that. So a couple months go by, and every time I go up to the office, this guy would pass me, and he would turn his head away as he walked past me. So anyway, I was working on another book at the time, and I was having issues with the editor, so I ended up getting fired off that book. So I was really angry that day. So I come in and I fill out for the last couple of pages that I did of that book I just got fired off of. So I said, I'm going to go down here and I'm going to tell this editor what I think of him for the fact that he offered me those X-Men books that I never got to draw. So I'm walking out of the office, I'm storming out of the office, upset. And I happen to pass by his office, and I hear this voice, hey, Larry. And I turn around, and I see him, I'm like, yeah? He said, I need to tell you something. So I walk in the office, I'm like, yeah? And he says, would you be interested in taking over X-Factor? And I was like, sure. And then everything just kind of skyrocketed from there. When you go to these shows and you're just this other artist at the show, you know, you have a certain amount of people come over and you're just watching the whole world just kind of move around you. But when you get to that status of you're working on that top 10 book, it's now a whole, everything is like focused on just you. People treat you different, you know, it's just, I didn't really like it in the beginning because those people that I was used to talking to one-on-one and stuff, I couldn't do it because nobody wanted to talk to them. They just want you to sign as many books as you possibly could. So they'd be bringing cases of books. I'm like, I have to sign all these books? And it'd be hundreds of books they wanted you to sign. And this would just go on like all day long. So it eventually got to a point where the whole image thing kind of blew up. You know, the whole image thing just became a whole nother thing. Marvel was in fear of losing all of the various people that they had who were working on their books. So they were just putting a lot of pressure on those people. So I ended up just one day getting a call from this, the assistant of the editor I was working with, and he says, Eli, we don't want you on X Factor anymore. And I was like, all right. So I sat around for a couple of weeks trying to figure out what I was going to do. I wasn't really suffering because the royalties from the X Factor books that I did, I was able to live off of for the next couple of years. So I said, hey, I'm going to do something I never really considered doing before, and that's doing my own book. So I had a couple of ideas. So I got together with a friend of mine at the time named Todd Johnson, and we came up with all these various characters, and I ended up doing a book called Tribe, which to this day is the best-selling comic book I've ever done. So to this day, I can have this for myself. I can say, how many people are there out there who did their own book and it outsold the X-Men book that they did? So there was a lot of problems that came with that, but I'm glad that to this day, usually when people say to me, oh yeah, that guy did Aliens, you did that guy who did X-Men, and you're that guy who did Tribe. So a lot of stuff had gone on at that time, so I had decided I would just, I didn't want to do comics anymore. So I thought I was just going to kind of drop out and come back a year or so later. But then a year went by, another year went by, another year, next thing you know, like 8-9 years had gone by. So I was doing other things, other types of jobs. One of the jobs that I had was I was doing undercover security work. And it required a lot of physical activity. So I was always fighting, tearing up stores, you know, stopping people from stealing stuff. And it was one of the greatest times of my life. I was so excited. That was just such an exciting job. But I was getting older, and I said, this is just not a good way to be living. You know, every week you go to the hospital because your wrist is sprained, you know, somebody trying to stab you or shoot at you. And I had been through all that stuff. So I get a call one day from the same guy, Carl Parks, that book putting on Alien Legion, and I hadn't spoken to him for years. He said, hey, you know, there's a guy, an editor up at Marvel, wants to know what you've been doing all these years. So I told him what I've been doing, spoke to the guy a little bit. The guy said, hey, would you be interested in doing comics again? I said, I don't know, I guess so. So the first story I got was like a what-if story, I think it was, and that eventually went on to a Black Panther, some Black Panther story I did, and then I went back to doing X-Factor. Did X-Factor, did a few issues. But I remember that day sitting there in front of that computer, and I'm sitting there and I'm drawing. It's just peace and quiet in the house. I'm thinking, I didn't even get cussed out, jumped on, stabbed, shot at with this other job. I'm like, I think it's time for me to go back to the comics again. You know, life is so much easier. And I went back to doing that, and I've been pretty much doing that ever since. But during that time of not doing comics, I didn't really involve myself in it either. So I didn't go to shows or stores or anything like that. So even to come back to something like this, because I haven't been here since about 1994, it's like a whole nother thing. But I say this to myself every once in a while, that when I think of all the things that I could have done in my lifetime, other than things where I can make a lot of money, I just can't think of anything else that I'd want to do more than just draw comic books. And even something like this, to be here and to get this award and that kind of thing, that's like, I'm excited about doing this again. Anyway, the show can start. This picture here, which was a cover of, I think it was a variant cover, I can't remember, one of the Black Panther books. This is an example of, we deal with editors, and editors tell us, oh, you know, you have to change this, you have to change that, move this over here, turn this at a different angle. So we find ourselves kind of butting heads with editors all the time. But every once in a while I get this image in my head, and normally they want you to send 5-6 layouts of what the cover's going to look like. And every once in a while I said, I don't want to send them nothing else. I'm just going to send them this one picture. And normally I would just send a layout. I said, maybe if I finish the picture, they'll pay more attention than if I just do sketches. So I did this. I only did this one single picture. So I send it in, edited it, and called me back for a couple of days. And I'm like, oh, they got somebody else to do it. So then he called me. He said, oh, man, I was out of town. And I came back and, man, this is great. You know, I want to do this cover. Whatever. And I did it. And a lot of people really like this cover. So that's the kind of freedom that you're always looking for as a professional in the business, when you can just have an idea, do this one idea, and it works. So this ended up being one of my favorite pictures that I've done. This was a pinup I did for somebody, I can't remember. Black and white was always kind of a hard thing for me because most of my career was doing pencil work, and then I would have other professional ink it and then colorists and stuff like that. But one of the great things about being able to do the commission, which is a really good business right now, is that you get to do whatever you want. So over the last number of years, I've been able to develop my inking style a little bit better. And I'm starting to really get comfortable with this kind of stuff. This is a weird character to me. I never really quite understand what the deal was with this guy, but a lot of people like this character. And I thought a couple of people did really good jobs at drawing him, so I thought visually the whole, whatever that thing is that comes off your shoulder, I had fun doing that. I used to do a lot of like this graphic stuff, like in the backgrounds, but as years have gone by, there's been less emphasis that artists have put on this as opposed to, you know, they just want you to do these, every panel just look like this, which I think is kind of boring. Another picture. It's always interesting when you draw a character that you have absolutely no interest in whatsoever. And you draw it and you say, wow, this could be a really cool looking character, you know? And I've seen a lot of people do really good pictures of this character, those two characters. And now seeing them on the TV show, that's kind of cool. This is an independent book that I did called Watson and Holmes, which is basically like a, what if Watson and Holmes grew up in Harlem? And this is one of my favorite pictures in the book. I like doing independent stuff. It used to be a time when a lot of independent books just weren't very good, but now people are really starting to perfect this stuff. And in a lot of cases, it becomes more interesting now to do the independent stuff than to do the mainstream model. So this is basically how I lay out a page. Even though all that stuff looks like a scribble, I knew what I was going to draw. I know all those lines. Exactly. Like that one over in the corner, that one line with the thing on top, I know exactly who was supposed to be there. Another pinup I did for... Did I do that for you? Oh. I can't remember who I did that for. This was some... I like the coloring on this picture. A lot of times the coloring now is so good in comparison to what it used to be with all the computer stuff that sometimes I look at stuff now and I can't even remember that I was the one that actually drew it. This was something that I think ended up being one of those things they auction off of some charity or something like that. I'd like to do that kind of stuff more, but you know, you get like 20, 30 guys wanting you to do pictures for free. So this is some of the pencil, what my pencil stuff usually looks like. Most people, especially when they're doing a monthly book, they do pencil work. When they get to the areas where it's like the shadows, they put these little X things, and that's supposed to indicate where you're supposed to fill it in as a solid. But I feel, if I'm getting paid well to draw a page, I should put everything on the page. And I love drawing crowd scenes. Does anybody remember what that was? Some X-Men book. I don't remember. One of the new ones. That's the color version of it. This was a four-part miniseries called The Time and Lives of Lucas Bishop, one of my favorite series that I ever drawn. And no one has ever said anything about it. It was really disappointing. I put everything I could into that book, and nobody even said they liked it. So that's one of the kind of things that happens every once in a while. Another excellent shot. I can't remember what this was for. Some Iron Man. This is something came out about a year ago. I can't remember what that was. That was another commission. This was for one of those game, one of those comic books that they did. I had it like the GameStop stores or whatever. It took me forever to find copies of that book. Oops. And this was a variant for some Deadpool. I never liked the Deadpool character, I don't know why. But I always liked drawing the character. Visually, I've always liked the way the character looks. These are some kind of in-process paintings that I've done. Most of the ones that I've drawn is a children's book that I haven't finished yet that I was working on. Another excellent group shot. Another, I think it was a reprint. A reprint of some Wolverine book. The cover that I did for Martin Long's book. And this was another independent guy. This series of Alien Legion books was originally supposed to be published by Dark Horse Comics, but they sat on, I think I did the first two or three stories, and it kind of sat on it for a couple of years, and eventually the guy that owned it took it back from them and had it published at a company called Titan, and then I finally finished the very last issue. This is something that came out a couple of years ago. There's another page from that book. Another independent thing that I did. I love doing independent stuff. And I don't paint very often, but this is one of the few paintings that I've actually done. I like the way it came out. I use this combination of acrylics and Prismacolor and colored pencils. I think this is watercolor. I almost never do watercolor. Another pin on. A character from a new track story that I'm working on.
You're starting to draw again?
Yes.
Yes!
Now, I like pictures like this because there's no effort to do it. I think I was watching something on television, and I think I did that picture in like 15 minutes or something like that. And this is kind of what my kind of breakdowns look. Usually, I draw stuff out like this, not putting too much detail in. I usually do this, and what I end up doing is taking that, and then I lay the actual page I'm going to draw on top of it, and then I finish it. Almost kind of tracing it. And that's how I pretty much do most of my art. Sometimes I'll draw stuff like this out on a piece of tracing paper. This is one of the only pages that I had. I just sold this. This is one of the only pages left over from the X Factor that I did back in the 90s, I think it was. This was done as a poster. My friend Todd Johnson wanted to try it. He throws concerts. So he does like those big electronic concerts and stuff. And this was a poster that I got commissioned for to do for that, for one of those concerts. Brother X-Men show. This was an independent book called Purge. And the coloring of this was done by a guy named Bashindo Kumbar. And if you don't know this guy, you should know that guy. His color stuff is amazing. This was one of those pinups that I did for a guy that ended up really hating me because it took me too long to get it for him. But he liked it when he got it, so. And this was something I did. I think I did that in somebody's sketchbook or something. I always worry when people want me to do pinups, do them a commission. But then they send me a book that obviously they've been having people draw stuff in this book for like years. And I can't, please don't let this thing get lost in the mail. So when I did this is one of those pictures where I very rarely put gray tones, washes or whatever. But I did it and I liked the way everyone turned out. So I've been doing a lot more of that stuff recently. This was done for a guy in Japan. What's interesting now because of the access we have through the internet and stuff like that, I could be doing work for somebody in England one day, the next day somebody in Japan, the next day somebody in Australia. It used to be a time we very rarely had any contact with people that lived in those other countries, and now that's where I get most of my work from. This guy, Machine, that I was saying earlier, colored this. This ended up being a poster for this independent book called Purge. Another expert to show up. Well, that's it for my art. So I don't know how this is going to be done, but I don't even know how much time I have. If anybody would like some, 15 minutes. Anybody would like to ask any questions? Don't ask me what I just told you. That's what I'm saying. No questions? Oh, yes.
Any influences or art?
I don't really have any particular influence because that changes as I go along. I could be into some guy like one month and the next month or something completely different. The way I learned about art is I would go and I would hang out in bookstores and I would hang out in libraries and I would just randomly flip through anything and everything that I could come across. And I said, I like the way this guy drew trees, I like the way this guy drew cars, I like the way this person drew women. And I was just trying to take those little bits and pieces of things and put it all together. What ends up happening, which is a mistake for most artists, is if you focus on one or two people, then you're going to spend the rest of your career trying to relearn this stuff again because you've learned from just the same person. So forever, people are going to say, oh, this stuff looks just like such and such a guy. And I'm glad that even when I had people tell me, hey, this stuff reminds me of this person, that person, it was never the same person. So each person who accused me of that, they picked somebody else. So I felt better knowing that, all these little bits and pieces of stuff, it all came together as something else. So when people say, oh no, this person's stuff looks original, all that means is you don't know where their influences came from. And that's what I purposely have tried to do the entire time that I've been doing comics.
Working for a publisher is different than making your own book. Working for a publisher is different than making your own book. When you were making Tribe, what did you learn about making your own book and the main differences?
Well, when you work for the big publishers, they have people that take care of all of the other stuff. It could be 30 people working on one book. You have people working bullpens, you have editors, you have people dealing with distributing, you have people doing all these different things. But when you do this yourself, you have to do all that stuff yourself. And most people have no clue of what to do when they make their own book. So they make their own book, and they're all excited. Oh, I got this book. They get this pack, the box in the mail that has a couple hundred, and then they can't sell it. They don't know where to sell it or how to sell it. And a lot of people get disappointed and they drop out of the business. I've seen a lot of people start books, do one or two issues, and then you never see them again. and just go back to doing regular jobs, because that what they had attempted to do didn't work, because they had no concept of what else is involved other than just creating the book itself. And that other stuff is actually harder than actually doing the book. So.
Is there going to be a private reboot or?
Yes.
Extinguishing or whatever? Well, I mean, is it going to?
Is it a win? I don't know. I don't know the win part of it. All I know is I'm doing it in basically in between the regular work that I'm doing. Uh-huh. Because until you actually finish a project like that, which can be anywhere from 4 to 6 issues, you still need to make a living. So I do the other stuff. I do commissions, I do covers, I do stories for various people, and you have to do the work in between that. So if I say to you, hey, it's going to be out 6 months from now, it's probably going to be about a year and a half.
But it is happening.
Yes. It's
okay, thank you.
Yes.
Is there a character that you get a commission for that you've drawn a lot in the past that you just can't stand drawing anymore?
Because most of the commissions that I get are just, I get more Batman requests than any kind. I'm okay with drawing Batman. I can close my eyes and draw Batman. He's great. I love when people say, can you do a commission for Batman? I'm like, yes, go take me 15 minutes to do this commission. $100 for this. But then every once in a while you get that obscure character and you have to figure out the costume or which, you know. Or it's, I had a one I had to do recently of Carnilla from Thor. So I go to look up references of Carmilla. Every single picture of her is a completely different picture. So I'm like, which one am I supposed to draw? So I ended up taking bits and pieces of each one of the drawings that people did, and I basically made up my own version of that character. And that's kind of fun, too. But usually if somebody has an elaborate costume and they want you to do it specific, that takes a while. But actually the hardest thing is when people want you to do a recreation of something you did before. Because you're technically tracing the exact picture, and that takes about 3 times longer than the original picture that you drew. Yes.
What's something that you really struggled with in the past between freelance or actually working with the publisher, and how did you overcome it?
Well, it's always a problem when you're dealing with editors, because no matter who the editor is, they feel that they know more about what you do than you do. So I've dealt with editors who were probably a third of the age of the time that I've been drawing, but they're going to tell me what I'm supposed to do. And you know, you change to an extent, but you find yourself kind of fighting with them all the time. But then at the same time, artists are left to do whatever they want, they do crazy stuff. So it's kind of like a happy medium in between one and the other that eventually comes out to when you see these books. But if you knew on a daily basis what goes to making these books, there's no wonder the books ever come out.
Is there something you would like to see happen in the African-American community? How African-Americans' involvement, is there something that you would like to see happen in that area?
The biggest problem I see, especially talking to guys, what I'm talking about are independent people, not what's done at Marvel, DC, whatever, is people that run stores are concerned with making money, as anybody does in any business. So they don't want to take a chance on a lot of stuff. But there's a lot of people out there that have good ideas, do good art, whatever. But in a lot of cases, they won't even take a chance on those books because they'd rather fill up the space in their book, which in their comic stores, which books that actually sell. And your book could turn out to be a hit, but in most cases they won't even take a chance. So just being able to get them to take you serious, that's like the single hardest thing to deal with as an independent person. And anybody here that does their own independent comics, they know that. 15 minutes over? Yes. Yes.
How do you start, how do you get started with comics?
You came in late, didn't you? Because I told that story when I first got in here. What I'll do is I'll tell you after this is over. I don't think they want to hear that again. So, yes. Style is an interesting thing in that there are people who purposely try to create a style, and most of them fail at it because styles aren't really things you create. Styles are things that happen. And the reason why the style happens is that you're trying to compensate for what you're not good at. So you just think of another way to solve that problem. So I found myself drawing this picture of a character, and she had a whole lot of hair. So I'm struggling with drawing. I'm just like, I'm having trouble. So I'm checking all these other artists. I'm like, how can I solve this problem? So I'm on this tight deadline. These pictures, like these pages I have to get out the next day. So I have this picture. I've been drawing up this woman. This picture, she kind of goes up part way into the panel, and up in this, at the top part of the panel is this blank space. And I don't like seeing blank space for some reason. So I take her hair and I just go, put these squiggly lines in. So I bring it into the office, and the editor says, "Man, I love the way you drew from his hair." The book comes out, and people who respond to the book, one of the things they always say is, "Oh, I like the way you draw that. You just do this wild stuff with people's hair." So I've been doing that ever since. But the problem with it is, as you get better at drawing, the style starts to go away. So then people say things like, "Oh, that guy's stuff used to be good. Now it's not good anymore." When it's actually gotten better, you just don't see the style anymore, which was what you liked in the beginning. So, like I said, I still draw hair like that. Anybody else? Not really. And the reason why is every single person that I know who've had anything made into a movie, cartoon, or whatever, hated what happened to that work. Because when you get into those businesses, there might be 20 people making a decision on something that you're doing, and every person has a different idea of what should be done with your stuff. They completely disregard you and what you think about where your stuff is supposed to go, so they do whatever they want. So you get these rare, every now and then, times where, like, you have like a guy like Robert Kirkman doing the Walking Dead thing. But the difference between him doing the Walking Dead and other people doing, having other things adapted, is he's involved in it. And as a result of him being involved in it, it stays as close to what his original idea of it was. Whereas most people, you know, they offer you a $100,000 check for something. You say, okay, you turn your back and walk away. And when that thing comes out, you don't even recognize what it is you originally started off with. So people tend to be disappointed by that. So in a case of like me, I never even thought of even doing anything like that. If somebody was to contact me, maybe, but it's not even anything that I've even considered doing. Look, more like people. Any more questions? Okay, I gotta wrap this up. I just saw time. Thank you very much for showing up.